Good morning. Today is Friday, the 5th of August. Joining us this morning from the city of Eureka, Brian Gervin. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
I didn't know that you drove one of those trucks that looks like it's a federal enforcement vehicle.
Hardly.
Well, the whip. Who has whip antennas anymore?
Oh, plenty of people do.
Including you.
That's right.
Well, let's just say I was giving you a wide berth as we were coming down the driveway. Oh, are you ready for your question?
Sure.
All right. Why do we say to be at loose ends?
I don't know. Why do we say that?
No. A bored adolescent who decides to go and hang out at the local shopping mall in Eureka is at loose ends. Not far from the original meaning of the expression. During the days of the windjammers and other great sailing vessels, rigging grew increasingly complex. If ropes had been left free to unravel, a hopeless tangle would have resulted. When other work was slack, sailors were put to work repairing loose ends of ropes. Many a captain was accused of ordering such a chore merely to keep his crew occupied. As a result, a person with nothing significant to do was said to be at loose ends, tying or taping untidy ends of ropes.
And now we know.
See, it really says what it means.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, kind of interesting. So what does summertime mean for you other than seeing a lot of asphalt down?
That's right. Summer is, it's busy this year in particular. A lot of construction going on. It's been the case for the past several years, but absolutely this year we've got a lot going on.
You put it in second gear this year.
Yeah, and then some.
Now, Harrison is probably going to be the one that most folks are seeing. Little bit of work, some of the ADA stuff being done. It was kind of a shocker that it was Randy Sundberg instead of Rick Olson doing the corner there. I thought, but yeah, it kind of happened just in time for the speed chase. I mean, your timing was extraordinary.
Right. Yeah, no, we were lucky to do that project. It was a project that we coordinated with the county on. You know, Harrison is the border between the city limits and the county's jurisdiction, so we share that roadway. We're able to get some grant funding through the Humboldt County Association of Governments to make that project whole and do some ADA work on the county side, paving on both sides, really good project.
For the portion that was done. Now, there's at both ends, there's a lot of PG&E speckles. Is that going to be surfaced also so that the whole thing is back and smooth like it was after the half-track days? Or is this kind of as far as it's going to go right now?
For this project right now, this is as far as we're going to go. At some point in the future, we'll be able to come back and resurface the rest of the street. But right now, that's not in the queue.
Darn.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that one about 18th Street that is, you see people swerving around it. And I suppose that there's almost an art in filling that after the pavement is cut, whatever the work is done. There's almost an art in getting it so that it doesn't cause the vehicle to shudder and shake.
There is. It's tough. You know, anytime you interrupt a surface like that, you're going to have different subgrade. You're going to have different asphalt on top. The city, we've revised our standards to beef that up a little bit. And we've seen
it's towards the smooth direction.
Exactly, towards the smooth direction. And requiring more of, outfits like PG&E and their contractors when they're coming in, especially when they're going to disturb a street that's been paved within the last 5 years.
So what, they just have to tamp it down more? I mean, how do you do that?
It's about widening the patch. So instead of just, if you envision, I'm gesticulating here for the...
What? In public?
So if you envision a trench, you know, it used to be that you could...
He's talking with his hands.
That's right. You can just pave the same width as the trench. Now what we have to do is, in addition to that trench, you widen out the subgrade a little bit, and then you widen the asphalt beyond that. So there's like it's a T trench, basically.
Cantilever.
Well, it's
a little bit so that it expands
bridging,
across.
Yeah, it's bridging that gap.
Without using joists.
Right. Just more gravel yeah. and asphalt.
Okay. Well, so it just takes a little bit more time, a little bit more effort. That's why it wasn't routinely being done before.
Right. And especially, you know, now that we've got significantly more funding for street improvements in Eureka, we wanted to make sure that when we were doing this work, it wasn't going to be disturbed and ruined, honestly, by work by PG&E or other contractors.
Yeah, I can remember Don Raffelli at one point when they paved Park. And, you know, if we separate all the controversy about why Park and Myrtletown was paved, because Don was living out here. he said, as soon as you cut the surface, that's a weak point, and it never will have the structural integrity that it did prior. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do. It just will never be able to have that same strength. 2 months later, they start cutting Park.
Yeah.
You know, well,
we want to avoid that.
At least we know what's going on. And a lot of times it seems like it's the infrastructure underneath. Something, a pipe starts leaking, or a leak is recognized, or there's a problem with this or with that, and they have to go back in and take care of that problem. It's kind of like the lesser of two evils.
Yeah, you know, the underlying utilities are absolutely something we have to take into consideration. And it used to be that we were working on utilities way ahead of any paving because our paving budget was so limited in the past. Now,
and it makes sense.
And now with Measure H coming online and that significant increase in funding, now what we see is we don't have enough dollars to keep up with the underlying utilities in advance of the paving. We're trying to do it as much as we can, but we're just not going to be able to all the time. So we have to look at where are the underlying utilities in the worst condition relatively, and how can we get ahead of the paving that needs to happen?
Why not do it under the gutters or the sidewalk with repairs, I mean, or brand new?
It's all about proximity to other utilities. Streets get crowded with underground utilities, water, sewer, gas, in some cases electrical communications. So there's a lot there that needs to be accommodated, and only just so much real estate.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Hi there, and good evening, and welcome to the Jim Bohannon Show from Westwood One Radio. We're at 1-866-50-JIMBO, 1-866-505-4626. Weekdays at 7 p.m., it's the Jim Bohannon Show. I'm Jim Bohannon. Join me here on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Gervin from the city of Eureka. New pavement out by the zoo, which is, I think, everybody was always excited about. However, let's see, in talking with three or four other entities, it appears as if there's a little experiment going on.
There is.
Which is kind of cool, brings up frustration that I've got, but what, not related to what you guys are doing, it's missed opportunity in the past. So what's going on? What's driving the situation?
Yeah. So out there on W and Dolbear Streets, W is the one that goes past the zoo. Dolbear is the one coming the other direction.
All right, regular guy, Washington. Yep. And zoo.
Yeah. And so what we are doing is a trial run of a one-way conversion of those two streets, and if it were implemented in a permanent way, those two would function as a one-way couplet. What that means is that you've got all the traffic in one direction on one street and all the traffic in the other direction on the other street, similar to 4th and 5th, 6th and 7th, or H and I streets in Eureka.
You mentioned 6th and 7th. My aunt and uncle graduated Eureka High like in 60-61. I remember a story Len was saying. They came back for one of the reunions. And in the interim, 6th and 7th had become one way. They were unaware of it until they looked in the rearview mirror and there was a little escort going on. They'd only had one drink, so it was okay.
We're better than 50 years past that, and it still happens.
Yeah, it's from local plates.
Yeah.
So I would think something like that, whenever there's a change, there's the benefit that you're looking at. There's the blowback from inertia. And then you've got, okay, it's going to settle in somewhere in between. I've always thought that those streets ought to be one way.
A lot of people have.
It kind of makes sense. But do you then have a two-lane one way? Or do you do some form of changing in the parking styles so that it can still be comfortable but not be a choke point, particularly with the historically poor planning that the city of Eureka has had with traffic circulation? With Cutton being as Cutton is, it really should have a two- or three-lane, four-lane road going out through there just because that's going to be the growth, and there's that kind of demand right now throughout the day.
When you look at the actual traffic volumes and the anticipated traffic volumes, they can absolutely be accommodated by the existing roads or by a one-way couplet with one lane in each direction. The volumes aren't so high that you require more than that. And we did a traffic study to document that.
It's like 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon when everybody's heading home?
Yep. I mean, it's not to say that traffic will move completely freely with no delay whatsoever, but
you're managing my expectations.
You have to look at, what are the priorities? And do we want to make sure that all users of the roadway can get where they need to go safely, or do we want to make sure that cars can get where they need to go as quickly as possible? And you can't always have those two things happen together.
Obviously, it depends on who you talk to.
Yeah. It does. And, the council has really set a priority on making the city's roads safe for all users. And that because they're in a more vulnerable position, that means sometimes prioritizing bike and pedestrian access. And so with W and Dolbear streets, on Dolbear in particular, there would be an ability. W is the zoo, Dolbear is the other side. So with Dolbear in particular, there would be an opportunity to increase the parking by creating diagonal parking like you've sketched here.
Yeah, I remember the parking studies for Old Town, and that was on F. That was going to be between 4th and 2nd. It was going to do that. And you'd have kind of like the walking open air mall feel and slow, and you'd alternate the two.
Yep.
And I would joke with city managers at the time, if you need a can of paint. In fact, I'll even paint it on a Sunday if you need to.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. And the feel, I think, is what you're looking for also.
Yeah, it is. And in Old Town, there are some constraints having to do with, we've got most city rights of way are 60 feet wide overall. And then the sidewalks
for the road?
Encroach into that. And then the road, the improved width of the roadway varies depending upon how wide the sidewalks are. In Old Town, a lot of those sidewalks are 12 feet wide. And if you take 60 minus 24, you get 36. And there's just not a lot of real estate left over for diagonal parking, unfortunately. However, on Dolbear Street, we would be able to provide parallel parking on one side in front of the residences in all likelihood that are all on the east side of the street, diagonal parking on the left side, and in between the two.
There's enough space for that?
Yep, there is. With one
lane. Even for regular guy pickup trucks?
Yep. And with one lane of traffic northbound. And then there would be a really good bicycle facility, a bike lane. And depending upon how it was configured, could also lend really nicely to more improvements at Washington School for drop-off. So
yeah, that obviously is a big concern because Fred cut in on the one side already, but most of us being creatures of habit or coming in from Cutton, they're not going to loop-de-loop trying to get in there and turn it, in and
exactly. And so it's difficult to describe, over the radio, but
use your hands. We can get there, baby.
For your sake, we would be able to provide some really good drop-off area and good bike facilities in that stretch.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30.
something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now,
Lars. Real Red Meat Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Gerving from the city of Eureka. Is our streets and travel in vehicles in the community as controversial as a lot of, not controversial like I'm going to get even with you, controversial, but just here's my opinion. You got your opinion. How come your opinion doesn't match mine? And we have an emotional discussion about, maybe that's what it is, an emotional discussion about how, where, why, colors, crosswalks. Do you go with the stripes or do you go with a series of small stripes? And why'd you change? You know, that kind of stuff, is that a lot of discussion time for you?
It can be. There are a lot of things that we deal with that people are surprisingly passionate about. You know, garbage is one of those things.
Garbage on the streets?
Garbage, no.
Garbage on the sidewalks.
Garbage that you pay to have taken away.
The utility of
the
garbage collection.
And thankfully, that's something that is not under my purview at the city. The Community Services Department deals with it.
I thought you were going to dump it on Linda entirely.
No. But, you know, that and then absolutely streets and other aspects of transportation. People do, they like the status quo. Change is uncomfortable, right? And they are very passionate about it in some cases. On both sides, we really like this. We want to see more, or we like it the way it was. And you hit on a couple of them. The crosswalks, particularly bulb outs, were a big controversy.
Those are, I ran over one last night trying to make the turn onto E.
Yeah, you'll get used to them.
Well, if there's a car in the other lane,
I
can't make 90 degree turns.
Right. It is achieving the intended purpose, which is to slow people down. They are working. Yeah. The goal of those is to make crossing safer for pedestrians. And they do that in a couple ways. They slow traffic down. They allow pedestrians
to get a head start.
You allow pedestrians to get out closer to the travel lane, out beyond the parking lane, so they have better visibility of drivers and vice versa. And people are getting used to them. We did have complaints at the beginning. People do hit them occasionally. And, it's one of those changes that takes time for people to get used to. H&I streets, when the council voted a few years ago to, yes, we do want to make this change and staff go after money to do it, that was really, really controversial. Big council meeting, a lot of activity, a lot of public input on both sides. And the council voted kind of in line with what I was describing earlier, which is we want to prioritize safety over some other things. Safety and what we call multimodal access, or access for all modes of transportation.
You know, I would... No, yeah, we're in the city now. Well, not right now, but at home. And I think the concept of slowing down, I think a lot of people can understand. Okay, and whether it's the little cameras up on the stoplights that will get people going by in the automatic ticket, which is something that I prefer, because then you don't have to monitor it. It's there, and the ticket arrives, and we got you. You don't have to worry about cops or any of that stuff. The kickouts, yeah, okay. I think most of us can kind of go with that. The push or expectation that we're going to all be riding bikes or skateboards or walking is almost countercultural for a lot of us, or we just aren't in a position where we can do that. Okay, but to anticipate suddenly 20, 30, 40, whatever the percentage is of the workforce is going to do that. It's like forcing public transportation. You know, you make it available. It's not something that everybody can do. Okay. And I think that's where the controversy was for a lot of us. It wasn't the kickouts as much as the other, because we've all driven through those areas where the high school kids are walking out in front of us. Well, okay, if it's only two lanes exposure instead of three, great. And you have the delineation of the parking on the sides of the street. Dandy. Don't think I'm going to ride a bike to work.
And a lot of people won't. But that doesn't change the fact that the people who do want to ride a bike to work, or who want to take their family out, you know, for a bike ride, need to be able to do it safely.
On H&I?
Well, the goal of this project is to make those streets very comfortable to allow that for the folks who want to do it. There's a term in traffic engineering called level of traffic stress, and it's how comfortable can a bicyclist be in a given situation. And there was a lot of information about it in the Broadway multimodal corridor stuff that was done.
Now you're supposed to be going with the traffic, not perpendicular to the traffic, right?
Yeah, how one obeys the laws is a different story. But, you know, even if you were to put bike lanes on Broadway right now, they would not be well utilized because it would be a very uncomfortable ride for the people cycling. It would take a hardcore cyclist who's, you know,
one of them, either militant or the guys driving the Pacific Coast, you know, where they don't have an option or they don't see that they do.
Right. And so what can you do to better accommodate those people who have a lower comfort level being around traffic? And so that was one of the things.
Why not do it like on J or E? You know, I guess they'd be called secondary instead of primary, where that could still be in play and you could still have the right-of-ways and all that kind of stuff, but you're not going against or going with folks going 35 to 40 miles an hour.
Sure. Well, we do have, if they're going 35 or 40, they're going 5 to 10 miles per hour.
Yeah, you've driven at 5 o'clock. You know what the speed is.
Well, thankfully, you know, it does fluctuate, and recently it's been going back up, but we need to bring it down. And one of the problems with, to answer your first question, we do have bike lanes on J Street, and people do ride there, far less vehicular traffic over there, so it might be more comfortable. However, on H&I, in addition to providing when you provide the bike facility and you reduce the number of lanes from 3 to 2, what you do is you inherently slow down the vehicular traffic because it's a tighter right-of-way. There's no opportunity for people to, you know, if there are two cars, you know, next to one another, the third car can't, you know, accelerate around them. That's a real problem at pedestrian crossings and has been the cause of some pedestrian collisions. So we want to achieve those other benefits of slowing the traffic while providing the great bike facility.
Well, it doesn't look like a landing strip then either.
True.
Which I suppose is part of the challenge with 14th and Booner. You can stripe it as you want. It doesn't matter. If it's 20 feet wide or 200 feet wide and you got two lanes, you know, people are going to move at what they perceive as being safe.
Yeah, generally, though, the narrower the street, the slower people will go.
Even on bikes? KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:43.
Hi, folks. Fly Humboldt wants to remind you that flying local is buying local. And with airlines going to seven cities serving hundreds of destinations, it's easier than ever to get to where you want to go from Humboldt County's airport. That's right, you can fly on American, Avelo, and United Airlines nonstop to Denver, Hollywood, Burbank, Los Angeles, and San Francisco. Flying has never been more convenient or affordable, so book your trip now. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. We're back talking shop this morning with Brian Gerving from the city of Eureka. So we've got some paving projects that are down. You got the stuff by the zoo and by Washington and then Harrison. You got 2030 Park. 2030 Park. Thank you very much. That's going to be coming on also. But what are we going to see as far as other street improvements or sidewalk improvements? I mean, there's a lot of ratted out sidewalks, too, that could use some TLC for the remainder of this year?
The remainder of this year, the other active work that we've got going is in the area of 2nd Street down between, say, S and Y Streets in the area of Target and Humboldt Transit Authority. That stretch of 2nd Street.
So like from the Red Lion down yep. to Target.
Yeah, basically. And that area has been really degraded for a really long time.
And yeah, you lose thoughts and vehicles in those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, it was not a situation that we at the city liked, but we were in a position where historically we had maybe $200,000 a year for paving. And that would have allowed us to do maybe one block of those streets because of how degraded they were and the level of reconstruction needed.
Well, and a lot of them aren't heavily trafficked.
True.
Second Street is, but the arteries off of those,
yeah, exactly.
Not too much so.
And when you've got limited dollars, especially, you have to direct them where they're going to be you know, the most effective in terms of
greatest good for the greatest people. Yeah,
exactly.
Or the most people.
Yeah. So the
not the greatest people. Actually, though, I like that one too.
So this year we are doing that project, and it's proving to be every bit as challenging as we anticipated.
What are you finding under? What are you finding under there? Is it old swamp fill?
A lot of old bay mud, and
so they just kind of covered it up and covered it up.
Yep, and there was very little structure, you know, in terms of base underneath the asphalt,
as you'd expect. You know,
so
that time
we're having to, in a lot of areas, over excavate up to 3 feet deep or more, put down fabric, put down a lot of compacted engineered fill, more fabric, kind of make a nice little sandwich that will help to bridge all of the nastiness underneath.
Yeah. And is it just decomposing plant material and mud and a little bit of tidal influence?
Probably all those things. I'm not familiar with exactly what we're encountering in every spot, but it's...
By and large, though.
It's a lot of muck. Yeah. It's a lot of muck. And while we were there, we uncovered the fact that the water line was in really poor condition. You obviously can't see that from the surface. And we hadn't had a lot of breaks there historically, but we recognized, given what we saw when it was opened up, that we could in the future. And given how much effort and money we were putting into the street improvements, we really didn't want to have that water line fail in the future. So what we're doing is an emergency, you know, unplanned replacement of several blocks of water main. And that's extending the time that it's taking, a little bit of increased frustration for the people in the area. But I think that they recognize just how necessary the improvements are, and they're being really gracious about it.
Yeah, you don't want fountains.
Yeah.
With that, Brian, I'm trying to think, because where Blue Ox is used to be the power plant, the initial one. Where did the water come from? Okay, you got the water pipes that are there. Where'd they go, or where'd they come from? Is there any historical noting where those pipes were, or how long they've been down?
The ones that we're encountering there are probably from the 40s and 50s. A lot of them are AC or asbestos cement pipe. It was really common for the city's system at the time, and we've got it all over the city, and it has tended to fail more recently. Because of shifting soils and that kind of thing.
Well, and end of life. I mean, concrete doesn't tend to bend too well.
Yeah.
Maybe that's the asbestos part. No, that's rock too. Cool. So we got some fun stuff coming up still.
We do.
Is there any little surprise project that's out there?
Nothing. I think the majority of your listeners would be interested in. We've got things that we like to do, you know, that are internal to our facilities. And but there's a lot of good stuff happening, both with utilities, with paving, and
sidewalks.
More sidewalks will come. Obviously, more paving next year.
Very cool. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Thank you.
See everybody on Monday.